Well, a very good day and welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond with you today, and we'll be opening God's Word and finding His good word for us today. We'll be in John chapter 15 today, so turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. We'll be beginning our study for God's good word for us today in just a moment. Before that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. It's the only day we have. We don't have yesterday. We don't have tomorrow. So, Father, help us to utilize this day for your glory. And if we do that, you'll make it for our good. Help us to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus. Help us to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And today, Father, we rely on your precious Holy Spirit to teach us from your word. May the words that I speak today, Father, not be my own words, but may they be yours, Holy Spirit, spoken in me and spoken through me for all of us to hear. Father, we thank you for every blessing. We give you praise and honor and glory this day, and we exalt and lift up the precious name of Jesus Christ. Bless us now as we hear. May we have ears to hear and hearts willing to obey your word. For your glory and for our good, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. We are continuing with our study concerning Jesus Christ and asking the question, is he really who he claimed to be? Is he really the only begotten Son of God? He claimed certainly to be that. Over and over again, especially in the Gospel of John, we see Jesus saying, I and the Father are one. You've seen me, Philip. You've seen the Father. I am the representation of the Father. And we see that he says, I don't say my own words. I say what I do hear the Father saying. I do what I see the Father doing. I came to do the works of the Father. I came forth from the Father. I will proceed back to the Father. So Jesus is identifying himself over and over and over again with the Father. We've seen, of course, in this study that we've had angels testifying as to who Jesus is. We've had individuals from his apostles to the people who are healed by Jesus testifying as to who he is. About the only ones we don't see testifying as to who Jesus really is, the only begotten Son of God, are the religious leaders and the pagans who could care less. The Romans aren't declaring him to be the Son of God. The Pharisees, by and large, as a group, are not declaring him to be the Son of God. In fact, they accuse him of blasphemy when he speaks of himself being one with the Father, when he speaks of himself as proceeding from the Father. The Pharisees are a good example to us that we can get so mired down in our religiosity that we miss the real true point that Jesus Christ is all that matters. Our belief in him, our trust in him. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. In 28, he was asked the question, what must we do the works of God? And in verse 29, Jesus answered that question. And he answered it in the singular. He said, if you really want to do the work of God, then believe on him whom he sent. In other words, he was saying, believe in me. That's your work. That's your work. Now, we need to get that in our head, dear friend, because that is contrary to our cultural kind of stance on this. It's contrary even to the stance of the typical denominational church today, that the work that we are to do is to believe and to just keep on believing and keep trusting and keep walking in faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are then to be yielded to his lordship and allowing him to do the Father's works in us and through us. So the works we do should not be our own works. but they should be the works of God that Jesus is doing in us and through us, being manifested by the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit within us. So the work is the Father's work. Our work is to believe, to believe, to believe, and just keep on believing and surrender ourselves and yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ so He can do His work in us and through us. Oh, that's so critical today, dear friend. I think we have the idea that we're just to go out and work and work, and we're just to do this and do that and do anything the church asks us to. We're to usher, we're to park cars, we're to take up the offering, we're to act as deacons and Sunday school teachers and all these other things. And while these things are fine, they're okay, they may not be the work of God that He has for us to do, that He wants to do in us and through us. We need to look to Him and follow the leading of the Spirit so that we will do the works of God. To put it a better way, we're to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit so that Jesus can do the works of the Father in us and through us. That's critical, and it's critical to our study today, dear friend, here in John chapter 15. For Jesus is teaching His disciples. Remember, this occurs just a matter of hours before His arrest, and then His trial, and then His crucifixion at 9 a.m. the following morning. Or this morning, we might say, because this may very well be after midnight, as far as we're concerned. In any event, it is past 6 p.m. on Thursday evening, and 6 p.m., you remember, is when a new day starts. So actually, as far as the Jews are concerned, Friday is already here as of 6 p.m. on Thursday. Jesus is observing the Lord's Supper. That is, I should say, the Passover, the Jewish Passover. And at this point in time, He institutes the Lord's Supper, speaking of the new covenant that is soon to come to replace the old covenant, the covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant of grace, the covenant under which we exist and live today, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the power of God within us to do our Father's work, to do the work of God Almighty. So that is key to us. It's so easy for us to do works that we think are fine and think are for God. They may not be at all. We need to examine that very carefully. That's a question only you can answer, and I can answer for myself, and you can answer for yourself through much prayer with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The works of the Father, that's what we want to be doing. And those are done in us and through us by the presence and the Lordship of Jesus Christ through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that dwells within us. Now, teaching a Sunday school class may be the work of God for you, or it may be something that man decided that you'd be good at. There's a big difference. The one is doing the work of God if He wants to teach that Sunday school class through you. But if you're just saying yes to a request of man, and this is not really the leading of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life, then you're doing the works of man. Now, you may be calling it for Christ. But listen, there's an awfully lot of people, Jesus says, who will do that. Let me just divert for a moment from our chapter 15 of John and go back to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. Now, He says, "You will know them by their fruits," in verse 20 of chapter 7 of Matthew. "So then you will know them by their fruits." He said, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, we're going to see that in John chapter 15 here today. "So then you will know them by their fruits." Now, we sometimes look at this chapter and look at this material, and we confuse fruits with works. Now, works can sometimes be called fruits, But works and fruits are not necessarily the same, or fruit. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, plural. Now, is that by their works you shall know them? No, I don't think so. You see, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what he's speaking of here. You shall know them by their character, is what Jesus is saying. The character that has the fruits of the Holy Spirit evident in that life, the fruit of joy, love, peace, the fruit of goodness and gentleness and kindness, the fruit of faithfulness and patience and self-control. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, I believe this is what he is meaning. He's not talking about somebody that teaches a Sunday school class simply because someone thought they'd be good at it. You know, one of the things I notice we do in our churches is if we've got a good public school teacher, we think they ought to be teaching a Sunday school class because they're a teacher. Well, that may be true, but it may not be true either. You know, we should judge these things by prayer and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, not by our looking at the person and looking at their natural talents and abilities and just concluding that they would be good at that. For example, in churches that I've been involved in over the years, pastored and been involved in as a lay person, often deacons, for example, in the Baptist church, will be appointed more on the basis of their business ability, perhaps, than anything else. We look at this person who is a successful businessman and say, well, they would be good at helping us with the administration of the church. Well, that is true in that respect. But this person may not be a deacon, certainly for that reason. Simply because they're good at business does not qualify one for being a deacon. A deacon is filled with the Holy Spirit. We see in Acts, Stephen and others that were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the reason they were selected. In other words, the fruit of the Holy Spirit was evident within their lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in that life. And remember that that fruit is love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and patience and self-control, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit as they're listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Now, these are first and foremost fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that is so critical, so important. Now, on reading a little further here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is saying, he's been talking about the fruits, and you'll know them by their fruits, he says. Then he says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, what's the will of the Father? It's to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in that belief, to walk yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the will of the Father. Now, if we get that right, all the other things will fall into place. But we can't become good or do the will of the Father simply by doing good things. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him into our heart and life, let him be Lord of our lives, and then he can do the Father's works in us and through us. So Jesus is saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father, he's the one who will enter into heaven. What's that will of the Father now? It's to believe, to believe, to believe, to believe. Remember in John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus said, in essence, if you really want to do the work, no S on that, the work of my Father, then believe in him whom he sent. In other words, believe in me. That's the work, our work. Remember that. That's our work. Then we yield, then we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow him to do the Father's works in us. Now listen to verse 22, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking. And he says, many will say to me on that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Now look at the things they've done. Many miracles. That's many good works, many good deeds. We cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. That means we taught, we preached in your name. We proclaimed your message. Some good things here, aren't they? But notice what Jesus says. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, he's the one who has his house, his life built upon the rock. What are the words that Jesus says? Believe in me. Believe in me. Believe in me. Walk in that belief. Yield to me. Let me be Lord of your life. Let me do in you and through you the works of the Father. The works then that we do will not be our own, but they'll be the Father's work. That's the reason we need to watch the way we pray sometimes. For example, if we're praying about some particular, some deed or some project or some circumstance that we're in, and we sense that we're weak and we need a lot of help, and we come to the Father and say, Father, strengthen me for this time. Strengthen me that I may do this. That's the wrong way to pray, dear friend. Sounds right, doesn't it? Sounds good, sounds pious, but it's a wrong way to pray. What's wrong with it? Well, it keeps the focus on us. It's in essence saying to the Father, I can almost do this in my own strength, but I may need a little help. I may need you to help me a bit in this, Father. That is totally reversed to what God desires. It's not Him helping us do our thing. That's wrong. That's not of the Father. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Those who will say to me, have we not done great works in thy name, and cast out demons in thy name, and perform many miracles in thy name? And Jesus says, I never knew you. You weren't one of mine. You didn't believe in me. You didn't trust in me, not really. All you knew about me, even to the point of being a member of a local church, getting your name on the roll, and doing some good things, good deeds, but they were not my works. They were not the works of the Father. They were your works that you did, and you just wanted to hang a label on them that they're works for God. Let me let that sink in. That is critical today, dear friend. Why? Because we live in a society, even within our churches, where the emphasis upon our doing things, upon our working, teach this Sunday school class, come and attend this committee meeting, do this thing for the church, do this thing, teach the Sunday school class, sing in the choir, sing a special on Sunday morning, go out into the community and take this food to somebody in the name of the church. Now, those are good things. But they're not the works of the Father necessarily, unless you are surrendered to the Father and to the Lordship of Jesus, and that is what God is doing in you and through you. See? Now, I spoke of our praying a moment ago, that we sometimes pray in the wrong way. Lord, strengthen me. See, that keeps the focus on us. I can almost do it. I just need a little more strength, God. You come in and you help me. You kind of push behind me just a bit. And that's totally backward. It's totally reversed. What God desires is for us to come to Him and say, Father, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I'll fail. Father, come in and be my strength. You do it, Jesus. You do it in me and you do it through me for the glory of God the Father. So it's the Father's strength. It's the strength of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that is there working in us. So we need to pray, God, be my strength. Instead of saying, God, strengthen me. There's a big difference. God, strengthen me keeps the focus on us. And we can say, I did it. I did it. I did it. The focus is on me. But when we realize that our strength is just puny and won't get the job done, and when we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow Him to really do His work in us and through us, then it is God at work in us. We're created unto good works, the Bible says, but it also says, for it is God who is at work in you, to work and to will for His good pleasure. Listen, dear friend, this is critical. This is important. Jesus says we've got a lot of people out there. He uses the word many, will say to me in that day. Have we not done great works in Thy name? Have we not cast out demons in Thy name? Have we not performed many miracles in Thy name? Have we not prophesied in Thy name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity. You see, God calls this iniquity sin. In other words, it's sinful for us to do good works that are our own and call them works for God. It's that simple. That's what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said, back up in verse 14, the gate is small that leads to life. The gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. This is a sobering scripture to me, Matthew chapter 7. You see, Jesus says the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat, verse 13. Verse 14, the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to eternal life, few find it. Down in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, have we not done these great works in Thy name? Prophesied in Thy name, cast out demons in Thy name, performed many miracles in Thy name. Many will say that, Jesus said. And He's going to respond, depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. You who work iniquity or you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. Oh, my friend, be sure that you got it right. We have a tendency to get everything of God just turned around with the emphasis on us. God looks at it from the other way. It's God from God's point of view. It's God's angle, if you will. Now, we can get into God's plan and God's purpose by submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we are yielded and submitted to Him, and when we just exist in belief and live in trust and be led by the Holy Spirit, then we'll be led by the Holy Spirit to do the works of the Spirit. It'll be Jesus at work in us with the power of the Holy Spirit being manifest in us and through us to do the Father's work. Now, we're to do the Father's work just like Jesus did. We need to say, I'm not here to do my own work. I'm here to do the work of the Father. Now, the way I do that is to surrender myself and do my work, which is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in that belief and to walk in that trust and allow then Jesus to be Lord in my life. Lord in me and Lord through me. As Paul said, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me and through me. That's where we need to be, dear friend. Now, I fear today that many, many in the church, good church members doing good things, teaching Sunday school classes, doing all these works of the church, many may be doing their own thing, or doing the work of the church, or doing the work of the denomination, or doing this because the pastor asked them to do it, or someone else in the church asked them to do it. And if those are the reasons, then they're not the works of God. You see, it comes back to the motivation. It comes back to the purpose. And that is the work of God, is what Jesus does in us and through us. When we do our work, and that is to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to abide in that trust, to abide as a branch in the vine. Now that brings us back to John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman. Now that's important. Now Jesus is the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and let me say here that it is not stated specifically, but it is certainly implied, and from other scriptures we can verify the truth of this particular fact. The Holy Spirit is the life. Jesus is the true vine. From Him flows life, the Holy Spirit. It's like the life-giving sap with nutrients flowing from the roots up into the vine and out into the branches to bear fruit. And that's the picture we have here in John chapter 15. So, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman, or the gardener. My Father is the one who tills the vine, the true vine, Jesus. He fertilizes. He keeps the briars away. He protects the vine, but He also prunes the vine. He dresses the vine, so to speak, so that it will bear much fruit. Now, if you know anything much about vineyards, there's something that happens in vineyards that just continues kind of to amaze me. If you look at the vines in a vineyard, you'll see a lot of stump, lot of branch, but you won't see much in the way of leaves because that's pruned back. That's pruned back pretty far in order for the vine to bear fruit, grapes, not leaves. Leaves are of no value, see. Leaves are of value only in that they turn the sunlight into nutrients by the action of chlorophyll in the leaves. That's important. But they're producing those nutrients to feed the vine and to feed the fruit and to make the fruit. That's the real purpose. We don't gather the leaves from a vine. We gather the grapes. We gather the fruit. So the purpose of the gardener, the purpose of the vine dresser, the purpose of God the Father is to fertilize, to cultivate, to keep weeds away, to protect from wild animals, just to protect that plant and to fertilize that plant and be sure that it's got enough water and enough nutrients, the Holy Spirit, to grow nice fruit. Now, in this, Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. You, He said, are the branches. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He, that is God the Father, the husbandman, the gardener, takes this branch away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now, notice the bearing of fruit and then the desire to bear more fruit, right here in verse 2. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Now, clean in this instance means washed by the word. You're already clean. He speaks of that again in John chapter 17, verse 17. In verse 4, He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, that's another way of saying what I have been saying in this message, surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing Him to live in us and live through us. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. See, it's not real fruit. You may be doing things, and they may look good from the outside, but you'll be hollow on the inside. You won't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace. You'll burn out when you do this, when you do your own thing. You bear fruit by remaining in the vine, and the vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think of it in this way. The branch, we know, if it's cut away from the vine, simply dries up and dies. Doesn't bear any fruit, certainly. It's got to remain attached to the vine because that's the source of life. That's the source of all the nutrients that it needs to grow and to produce fruit. And that's true of you and me, dear friend. So let's abide in the vine. That's another way of saying let's live in belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in surrender to his lordship. That's abiding in the vine, and therefore will bear fruit. That fruit will be produced by the Holy Spirit living within us. Jesus will be able to do the works of the Father, and will be bearing much fruit. And remember, that fruit is love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and patience and self-control. My prayer for you, dear friend, is that you bear much fruit to the glory of God. And this is a good word from God's holy word today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.